am I ready, if he sees any barriers, immediate barriers to doing what he's doing for the Delta to London?
Well, what I hear is governance. There doesn't seem to be any central authority that's pushing this in any coherent fashion. You would think that it would be the environmental agencies that would be doing this for their large-scale benefits, perhaps in response to the water directives from the EU. It baffles me a little bit why that's not happening here. In Philadelphia, I think the water department has proven that one committed, rather large agency can accomplish incredible things if they were so committed to it. And I think Thames Water might have that kind of clout if they saw fit to push that. But ultimately, I think it's a governance issue, and probably you need the political pressure in order to get everyone on the same page.
I think my sense from the various talks that we've had is that, you know, I think that is a clear difference. But going back to one or two of the earlier speakers, why don't you just start getting on and doing it, those of you in the various organisations with some ability? Maybe it isn't quite the wholesale structured response that we see in parts of the US, but I think we've seen from several of the speakers that some of us have gone away and started getting on, pulled together pots of funding from left and right, persuaded our cabinets, our local authority councillors, etc., the mayor in some cases, that we should be spending some of this funding. So maybe in a slightly different way, and not as quite a unified program, but some of this certainly has started to happen.
I think we shouldn't overestimate how unified the effort is in a city like Philadelphia. The beauty of SUDS, of course, is it can be implemented by just about everybody independently. What you simply need is one body that's going to take a look at the cumulative effects of that and make some estimates as to where you want to be at the end of a certain period of time, which is what the Philadelphia Water Department has taken on. They looked at their combined sewer system and said, all right, every 5 years we need to be here, 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 and here, and then everybody who's contributing to it, whether it's the private sector, the streets department, individual developers, or the water department itself, all of those sets are contributing to that solution, and we just keep track of it all and try to make sense of where we're ending up after in 5 year increments.
I mean, one thing I've always thought is that we do make it harder for ourselves by approaching it all as an answer purely to a drainage issue. I think that we've heard a lot about how subs are multifunctional uses of space, and with a lot of them, possibly surface water management, one of the minor uses of that space, or one of the minor benefits. You know, so we sort of, my analogy is, you know, we're trying to sort of sell somebody a car on the basis it's got a radio in it. You know, if someone wants to build a park, they'll build a park as a park. They won't build it probably to solve a drainage issue that they may not even see as their problem. So,
I think the point I made about Main Street is what we're trying to do in the Australian project. And what I've heard from some of the other speakers is you can see glimpses of this mainstreaming. But, you know, I would ask GLA, okay, your transport people fully on board, are they recognising every opportunity to actually do this? And I think we need, and I know Paul hates new terminology, but we could unite around the concept like mainstreaming, and maybe that's not the best word for this application, where it actually permeates. I mean, we had sustainability for quite a long time. GLA has resilience as a banner. And a lot of these words become utterly meaningless because of the way they're being used. But I think if we can have something that we can focus on, most people now know about SUDS. It's a dreadful term, but we're stuck with it. And most people know about it, and when we talk about it, they know what it means. What we need to do is to move that on. And I think to do that, we've got to do more work on the business case. Because I think the business case is blindingly obvious in Philadelphia. With your mayor, is it still Mayor Nutter in Philadelphia?
About a half a year more.
Right, okay. So they've got a Nutter mayor the same as you have here. So, you know, if you can convince your Nutter mayor there's a strong business case, and I said earlier, we have the tools to do that now, and Paul Paul's sitting here because he's got a project on the drawing board about the business cases, and he'd love you to come to him and say, please, can we give you some money to develop the methodology for the business cases for what we're talking about? I think you've got some sponsors already.
Well, it's more to do about master planning process than the business case, but so I mean, it's just because it can be done. But the difficulty being is that nothing gets done anywhere in the UK strategically. All tends to be opportunistic. And I'd take that to the London local authorities and the groups like Timber 21 that have been able to do it in the face of everything. So I think as a country, we have an ability to actually beat ourselves up quite badly. We are doing well. We're not necessarily doing as well as Philadelphia, but Philadelphia got a very different set of circumstances in terms of incentives and governance to make these things happen. And I think in the face of that, I think we are doing quite well. And there are some better companies delivering it as well, so with better ideas. And that is down to the governance that they're working in.
I think also the one thing which we need to recognise is the difference between London and actually Philadelphia. Now that might sound a very simple statement, but London has grown in a very incoherent manner. It's an incoherent city. It's an organically grown city. Now, I've not ever been to Philadelphia, but the majority of London, of United States, or even Australian cities are very planned, and that makes it much easier to do these sorts of systems. Where a city has grown, such as London, like organically, incoherently, you see Ian's projects, there's almost seems no sense in what was done in the 1950s. But we're still dealing with that legacy. So I think that's a quite an important thing to recognise, the difference physically between Philadelphia and London, and America and London. And the other thing which I'd say is the great benefit of SUDS, or SUDS-related aspects, but is also probably a slight negative, is there multiple wins. Because when you develop a SUDS system, and ours, SUDS systems, what we presented on, we are just trying to achieve water quality benefits. Through that, we are actually doing other things, reducing flood risk, creating a better biodiverse space, you could argue improving air quality, you could argue reducing air quality in one of them in terms of the ammonia which goes into the systems. But when we think about SUDS, I think there is a desire to try and do everything with them. Sometimes we need to recognise that perhaps it's not best to do everything, but do what's viable. And I think that's an important consideration when developing and identifying your scheme.
Yeah, but there's two
questions at the front row, Alan, and then yourself, Roland.
Okay. Well, I'm just wondering if the big difference between Philadelphia and London, as I hear, is that Philadelphia had a specific goal, a specific objective. And they knew what they had to do, and they planned it, and they worked out what needed to be done in order to achieve that goal. Whereas in the UK, we seem to be just doing stuff without really thinking about why we're doing it. We think it's a good idea, and we think it's a good thing, but we don't really know where we're going.
You could say that the last time London had a major new infrastructure upgrade for drainage was in the 1850s, and the objective was to solve cholera outbreaks.
That that's what in the end solves the governance issue, because if you know what you want to do and why you want to do it, then that presumably leads the politicians to make some sensible decisions, because you need to do it.
But that was the example that you gave, that it reduced flood risk to properties.
I mean, we did have a specific problem with the pollution going into the lake as well. But that made it easier to then come up and deliver a solution across London.
And part of that is public pressure. I mean, we, speaking here, the mayor occasionally will get a letter or a comment about, aren't you doing something about pollution or flooding? But to be honest, in a city of 8.5 million people, we don't get that many letters. Whereas we do get thousands of letters about traffic congestion, air pollution, what a building looks like, litter on the roads, on the streets, for example. So there is a little bit of, public expect when you get to some of those stages.
Because I think, as we heard from 21, I mean, you know, when the public actually get involved, they want to get involved
yeah.
more.
Yeah.
So it's just
yeah, that's in a way to Philadelphia as well.
Water is a very powerful thing for people, and when they can see it, feel it, and it becomes an amenity, it's unbelievably attractive. If you have a public park, for example, and there's one water feature in it, that's where you find the people. Part of it is marketing, to be honest with you. And we talk a lot about that in Philadelphia. We aren't all good at it, but there is a story to tell and something to sell to the people, and they are very receptive to it in a way that's more emotional than, say, a traffic problem. Even though you'll get 1,000 letters about traffic, you fix it and nobody takes a notice. You put a water feature.
Right.
Yeah, no, I understand that. But I'm saying is that they don't have that emotional attachment with letters. Produce something with water that speaks to people, it's much more powerful. And maybe the water business should be utilizing that a little bit better.
So yeah, my question, and then the gentleman behind you.
My question is actually for you, Kevin. An under sustainable drainage action plan, I believe this is already about 6 months late, the consultation on it, but you're saying that's going to be this autumn. Now the point I want, or the question I'm asking really is what changes in legislation and policies are necessary to allow the GLA to set targets and raise any necessary finance to instigate the revised policies? I mean, for neighbourhood schemes, priorities need to be set by the boroughs, but the GLA needs to determine where the overarching priorities lie. Now, I don't want to preempt any returns on that consultation, but we are behind the curve on this. And that does worry me. And the other thing I'd like to say is that in view of the fact that Thames Water, I mean, when they're borrowing money, it's at about 3.75%, and the government considerably less, and the European Central Bank are giving grants for green infrastructure projects at less than 1%. And so we do. You know, we need to look at the financing as well, how the financing is raised. And Ofwat, after this recent ruling, they are now looking at how finance is raised within the water industry across England. Not Wales and Scotland, of course, because they're already sorted. But I think that needs to be addressed as well. Is how we fund these things. It's not just a case of changing policies. It's setting targets. Which I think links into what's already been said. We need to have those targets established, and they're not there at the moment. There are too many agencies involved. What we actually need for London is some form of Tsar who's going to oversee all of this. And I think Manchester are leading the way. They're ahead of us in London because they have a green-blue strategy. Yeah. We've had blue ribbon, but we don't have a green-blue strategy. And I think, you know, we need to look at what Manchester are doing in that respect, because again, we're behind the curve.
Yeah. Well, I think it's a good point. Yeah. You know, we should always keep our eyes open and see what we can learn from whether it's Manchester, Philadelphia, or anywhere. And I think I would agree with you. We are a bit behind the curve, but I very much hope that through this Sustainable Drainage Action Plan, we'll be picking up and getting up to speed. And that will, I wouldn't pretend it will monumentally change where we're at, but what I think it will do is build on the sorts of examples we've seen today. And, you know, there are quite a few other people who probably could have come along and told us about their projects in and around London. So I think it's picking up on a theme, it's looking to continue that further. I have got in mind a target for London. There is a difficulty, I think, as the previous question indicated. Well, what should it be? You know, where's our evidence to say we need X thousand of these or 600 million of those? You know, we really don't have the evidence to say that. So there is a little bit of, you know, let's take things as far as we can. And also, I think it's important to recognise the organisational framework that we're in. If you said, well, would you create a water management system across all the different public, private agencies that we've got, the answer is probably no, but we are where we are. If I start from a point of, well, we need to change all of that, I can assure you nothing will be done for 10 years. So my approach will be, so we've got what we've got, however imperfect it going to try and work as best we can. And, you know, from Environment Agency, Thames Water, all 33 London boroughs, and a range of organisations that bring in voluntary people's time, there's quite a lot of common ground. Maybe don't always see eye to eye, but there is a reason for it, and that's what I want to build on and say, well, you know, this is what we need to be doing more of, and some of the previous practices we need to be doing less of, and hopefully none at all. You know, the consultation will go out. It has been a bit behind because I've lost a couple of members of my team supporting me. But, you know, these things happen. And I won't, in this consultation, we probably won't have got it exactly right. So I would encourage people to, when they see what's in there, say, well, we like this bit, but we don't like that bit. We think you should do it a different way. And I will look at all of those suggestions. There's one,
a
gentleman been waiting just on the second row there, sorry.
Yes, thank you, ma'am. I think Thames Bank needs to be congratulated for bringing this seminar about. And I think you as a host, for hosting the seminar, needs to be congratulated as well. But I think we must not leave tonight without actually identifying somebody in the lead position to bring all these experts about, to advise the mayor that certain things need to be done, not an individual person writing the mayor, because that wouldn't have any effect. But if all these eminent people who are here tonight are able to contribute towards a letter or a decision of this particular gathering, that certain things need to be done, I know the mayor is already trying to do certain things, but it perhaps is not objective enough, not focused enough, and these things need to be brought together in a coherent way, which the mayor can pick up as part of the London plan and have an implementation timetable, how things are going to be achieved, how things are going to be financed. Now, this is not something which can be generated by the existing people that are there with the GLA. It appears, so it appears. But somebody, a group of people like all these eminent speakers could come together to advise the mayor. And as I said, we must not leave the seminar tonight without having a coherent forward plan.
Okay. I think I said enough on the previous question. Anyone else got any comments?
I think moves are afoot to do such things, such as the Green Infrastructure Task Force and various other groups and pressure groups advising the mayor, or any potential mayors. I think the key is to actually provide a coherent message. There are obviously very different messages. There's probably, 40 people in this room, there might be 20 different views.
Are there 20 different views? We have identified certain things which need to be done, whether other examples around the globe are something which we could copy, but something could be done by this gathering tonight to have a coherent view put together for the mayor to consider, for example.
Okay. Well, maybe, Dido, that's something you want to bear in mind. I'm conscious there's another two hands I saw, Patricia and one near the back. Well, maybe we'll let the people who haven't spoken first go.
I just wanted to say that from the local authority point of view, it's good to have a such a strategy and a such action plan from the mayor. The same way that the ministerial statement in December last year helped us to require SAS in major applications. So I don't think it's a waste in such, or it's like the GLA is behind the curve. I think it will support us, local authorities, when we require sustainable drainage. We can say it's not just us, it's also regional government.
Yeah, it was just that the consultation should have been this spring of this year for conclusion this year, but it's now not until autumn.
But
it's not been released yet, and then we're not going to get the conclusion until next year. So, you know, this is it's a time-sensitive issue. That's the point that I was making.
Yeah.
And that's a fair point. Darren?
Just a question on the joined-up thinking. I was very pleased to see one of your neighbours had a permeable surface that could take 80 tonnes. The question is, the new super cycle highway going across London, has it got a permeable surface, particularly in light as lack of ponding make it quite a bit safer as well? And if not, was that due to lack of cross-departmental communication or what?
Okay. As far as I know, the surface on the cycle superhighways are not permeable, and from a personal point of view, I think that's regrettable. But the clear priority for the mayor and for Transport for London was getting that cycle system in at a very reliable level of operation. I'm not pretending that's likely to be a favourable message in the room today.
To make it permeable is not easy, because I'm not involved in that project, but I've had similar issues with schemes we've done in Enfield. And you've got to potentially reconstruct the whole structure.
And TfL are starting to show glimmers of hope and ambition in terms of embracing sustainable drainage. So they are looking at rejuvenating their street scene guidance to include sustainable drainage. And 2 years ago, I've been shouted out of rooms by a TfL member to start. So for me, that's a bit of a radical turnaround. So it's getting there. It's not as quickly as any of us would like, but it is moving.
Well, there are techniques for improving permeability as well. I mean, I was looking at a product. It was a Polish-American guy who actually designed it. It's like a band drain in reverse. So it's acting like a treatment. Mm-hmm. You know, so you're taking the water into the subsoil at 10 times the normal rate.
But I think coming back to the previous speaker's point, these are great. I think really impressive. How long is it going to take until it gets into the London plan? Because you've got some unbelievably expensive figures in there for water-related infrastructure going forward. None of this is impacting on those figures, which are predicated on traditional infrastructure. And I think this is the issue, Kevin, that most of us are concerned about. And I don't live in London, I live in Yorkshire, which is a much nicer place, even though the Chancellor's written it off. And I'm going to have to go in 5 minutes because we're going to get a train. But it seems to me that you need what was water cycle studies for London. I don't know who does that. I'm sure Thames Water have got some of that information already. I'm sure the Environment Agency have got some of that information already. But it needs somebody with this coherent vision, which I'd have thought the mayor was the obvious person, that actually drives forward. Let's do a water balance. Can you come up with a... I showed that figure for Melbourne. Do we have such a figure for London? And London has less rainfall than
I don't think there is such a figure for London, but I would like to point out, it was on my slides, the London plan policy supporting sustainable drainage has been in place for over 10 years. That is the London plan policy.
Yeah, but when you look at the London plan, you've got this figure, what's it, $43 billion for water-related grey infrastructure.
That's the London infrastructure plan up to 2050.
Exactly, that figure can be significantly reduced if you were to tackle this strategically.
I agree, and I'd also point out that the mayor's what he called last year his vision for 2020 specifically included the need to increase the use of sustainable drainage, green infrastructure. That, you know, the current mayor is very much in favour of all these schemes, and I did list out a reasonable range of projects without going into lots of detail about what he's done.
But this meeting is about integrated water management. It's not just about suds where the water lands. It's about seeing that as a resource. And we've had a lot of talk about infiltration. Infiltration doesn't see it as a resource. Yeah. It doesn't very often green either. So it's joining.
But
joining
the first line of that policy is use the rainwater for a use. Rather than have a debate between us, I can see one more question in the... And one at the back.
Del,
first, please.
I think it's much bigger than the London plan. Because I think London has to have a much broader approach, but has to be a much broader approach than in terms of London plan. And I think it's very important, very noticeable that you say this policy that you're talking about has been there for 10 years and it hasn't been coming. Because I think there's one thing very wrong with the administration and management of London and the political drive, that the London plan isn't implemented. not just in this particular policy, but a lot of other policies as well. And I raise this quite frequently about the non-implementation of the Rutland Plan. And that's lack of leadership. And I think that's very important. So we can't rely on the London Plan. It's the best, one of the best things potentially to happen to London for donkey's years. But it's very, very weakly implemented and it doesn't carry. I think it's a very important part of it, but I don't think we should rely upon it until somebody gets off the right person gets off backside and does something about it, frankly.
And I think it's also very important that we see London in the context of being within the Thames catchment. I mean, the Thames catchment is out to Gloucestershire, up to Banbury, down to...
A wider vision of Thames.
So when we're talking water and the water cycle, we've actually got to be thinking about the Thames catchment. And then London within that area.
Yeah. I respect your view on it. I'd have to say, for everybody else's benefit, my view and the Mayor's view is that the London Plan is implemented and relatively content with that.
Can I just ask? The question, I'm from Thames Blue Green Economy with other people, and we're jointly with Kevin running this meeting. And there are a number of people. I thought, Kevin, can we not move this forward with the people who are in this room? To actually start to, you said you wanted pressure. There are people in this room. Can we not really start the pressure going?
I'm not quite sure I said I wanted pressure.
No. But there's enough. But I just think it needs to be done. I mean, we know, and I agree with Dale, it's not being implemented. I speak to people in Richmond on the Thames Landscape Strategy. They say, well, we know it shouldn't be done, and we haven't got the time to do it. So leaving that aside, can we not make the energy in this room move towards actually lobbying government to actually make sure that it becomes law and not just maybe. A lot of these things, could we move this all forward?
Well, quite possibly. I mean, it may be that different people can do different things. It's difficult for me to sit here as an officer of the GLA saying, okay, I'm going to lobby the government to change laws. For other people without that sort of affiliation, you may be able to do that.
Yeah, yeah. Sure.
There was another question at the back,
I was just interested to know, with the new mayor, next year, what do you think the new mayor should do to push this agenda forward?
It may be one best for others to answer rather than myself, but throw that open.
The interesting thing is that if you look at what happened in Philadelphia, it's really a group of about, I don't know, there were about 20 of us that came up with this idea. We did the modeling, we did the analysis, and we came up with a plan. We did that in about a 2 to 3 year period. Once that was in place and it was coherently thought through, then the regulatory agencies bought into it, and then we got the support. What I'm hearing here is everybody's got their own little thing and their own excuse for not pulling together. It's not actually all that complicated. I'll bet that the sewage system in London is probably pretty well modeled, and somebody could, you know, make the effort to figure out what's needed and what could be accomplished with these various things, and then go ahead and push that plan. It happened there in a period of about 3 to 5 years, and now we're in the middle of implementation.
Martin, you did mention, I think, earlier about the city pass an ordinance requirement.
But again, it was just us thinking that up. We said, okay, we need suds in the city. We can't afford it. So this small group within the water department said, okay, we need a stormwater ordinance. We wrote it, and we presented it to the city council with the vision, and they passed it. we dreamed this stuff up, and we just made it happen. I mean, I think you can torture yourselves with the complexity of this. You just get out and do it. I don't know. Maybe I'm being simplistic. But
Emily's been keen to come in with a point, and I'd say there's another point there and one at the back as well.
Well, it seems to me, and I think maybe in a very straightforward way, that having heard what everybody's had to say, clearly there does need to be something or somebody to pull all these threads together, because we're talking about integrated water management here, which obviously affects amenity, health, quality of water, sewage, infestation, drainage, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But it's all balkanized, incredibly balkanized. and I'm having issues down in East Kent where you're trying to get something done, they say, well, I don't deal with that because that's sewage, I only deal with surface water, and yet the sewage problems are caused by the surface water, and so on. So this is, so I think, and I'm putting it to you, Kevin, really, it wouldn't it be a good idea to have, like you have a cycling officer, a cycling champion, why not have a water commissioner? Because that's long what TPGE have been asking for, is a water commissioner to pull these things together and to drive, at least as one person, to represent that. And then people can join a team to help the water commissioner or whatever, but push it forward. I cannot see how it's going to happen without somebody who's actually got a salary, because it's all very well to say voluntary people wandering around, sort of coming up with plans and, you know, wandering around. It's not going to work. There needs to be some message from the GLA. This is too serious an issue to say, oh, well, we can't deal with it. We'll do it in 2016 or down the road. It needs a central force.
Okay, good point. There's one at the back over there, the back there, and then Debbie.
I had a question for my husband.
Oh.
I'm sorry. Could it be that one of the differences between the Philadelphia structure and the London structure is that the difference in urgency, that there was a real urgency for Philadelphia to get together, to make up a plan, a timing for it all, and that London is perhaps less urgent?
I don't think that physical urgency is any different. I think London is suffering the same flooding, the same pollution, the same issues that we had. Probably the one difference in urgency was that we had a federal government that came in and said, do something. They didn't tell us how to do it. They actually figured we'd do a tunnel. And as I said, it was a relatively small group within the water department that said, this is a pretty poor city. That tunnel isn't going to fly. We can't spend that kind of money. Let's think something else up. So the urgency came from the federal government pushing this. But as I said, the solution was not all that complex. And if you agonize over the 40 different things that you're trying to accomplish, you divert your energies and nothing actually happens. I mean, just sort of get on
start,
with it.
Start somewhere. Yeah.
And it's clear that there has been quite a significant start. I mean, we've had examples today of some very, very good projects. We just need to recognise them and say, let's go out and do more of them.
Yeah, about a year or two ago, we suddenly thought to ourselves, we don't have to sell this anymore. We just have to get it done. We finished selling it. Everybody understands these things work. They have amenities. They have triple bottom line. You heard it today. I mean, everybody knows that. So we consciously said, all right, enough with the talk. Let's just go get on with it because we don't have to prove anything anymore. Let's just do it. And I think you could get there. And not all that.
Time's against us. There are two more questions. The lady at the back and then Debbie.
My question is to the Thames Water and Thames Tunnel and Buzzard Tunnel guys. Your priority as a company is to make profit. Not particularly to do, I mean, yes, you know, you live in London, you're Londoners, presumably, but your main priority as Thames Water is money. And so when we say the modelling exists and so on, I mean, I suppose it's a direct question, are you really up to working for, I mean, the big elephant in the room that we've not been allowed to say is the Thames Tunnel, and that has been the priority. And when we all say there's lovely little projects, these are all tiny, mean little projects. You know, I think you were able to sort of, we're able to count them on one hand. And really it needs, as you say, it needs a focus, and it needs Thames Water as one of the biggest players to play in subscale, the blue-green, as well as it has played on the big infrastructure.
Well, I mean,
so
I suppose it's
a challenge to, you
know. I can answer. obviously, we decided that the tunnel was taboo, so we weren't going to talk about the tunnel.
Yes,
what I will say is, though, that it was a solution to a specific time-critical issue.
Which some people here will be debating.
But it's not the solution to, you know, every problem to do with water management. You know, we're talking about integrated water management here. So we do recognise the need for what's been discussed. I think, you know, there's an agreement around the room that there's a need to work together, there's a need to look at water cycle management. We have input very heavily to the London Sustainable Drainage Action Plan. We have modelled the London foul sewer network, and we're sharing that information. We shared all the information for the production of surface water management plans, preliminary flood risk assessments for all the 33 boroughs as part of Drain London. You know, within the constraints of the legislation and the regulatory framework, you know, we are open to working with all the organisations necessary. That I think it's a question, really, as I say, I think you said earlier, about one of sort of pace and impetus and scale. Really. It's most water, surface water management at the moment in this country is done on a sort of opportunistic basis. You know, the example of, I gave Turney Road, was a very robust, very low risk, very reliable solution to real flooding that was happening. You know, we had a problem to fix, the council had a problem to fix, and we knew we could have fixed them with grey infrastructure, but it was unaffordable. We fixed them with green infrastructure, but, you know, it was a sort of a glimmer in the dark sort of thing, and it came about almost by accident. There's not the structure and the regulation to sort of make that happen as a matter of course.
No, I mean, it all boils down to some central regulation. I mean, look, my council's not here. They've given 20, and I tried very hard to find out who within the council it would be, and got battered around, and nobody came, and nobody, it was absolutely nobody's issue except some bloke who's been off sick for 2 years. And anyway, the transport and roadworks, which they seem to think it was, has been given, you know, contracted out for 25 years, and there's no permeable discussion within that, and so you go round and round, and so I think it does have to have a central government or a central London government.
Yeah, I mean, as Mark was saying earlier, you know, it's not so much it's so critical who delivers what, it's just that they deliver. You know, Mark mentioned a couple of sort of frameworks of private organisations getting involved in delivering SUDs. The funding and the finance need and the delivery need to be decided, but I don't think it's sort of a showstopper. But you need to do it, yeah.
Okay, our last question then, Derek.
I just wanted to say what's really needed is much wider public awareness. At the moment, you've got people in this room who understand the issues, understand the solutions to it, but ordinary people in the street just don't get it at the moment. They don't understand the importance of this stuff. We really need to get the message out there. So I think we do need to come up with some sort of communications plan, some way in which we can get to ordinary Londoners with these messages, so that we get that groundswell of social change happening, so that we can actually get this stuff into legislation much more easily. If there's enough social pressure, we will see change. And in terms of dealing, pressurising the GLA and taking that forward specifically, why don't we look at the London Waterways Commission, which is already in place and can actually achieve this? Give it as a project to the London Waterways Commission, see what they can do with it.
Okay. We've certainly had a few positive suggestions. I've made some valuable notes. Do you want to
just
summarise and close the meeting?
Well, I'm not going to take much longer because we've been here much longer than we anticipated. But thank you everybody for coming and for our speakers and some very interesting examples and suggestions. I think what we can take from this meeting quite clearly is that we all think integrated water resource management is a great thing and we need to do it now. So clearly what is missing, we need to focus on finding out a way to the will and the vision and the push. And that's what we need to get. And we need to see this leadership coming from somewhere. It should be from people who are supposed to be there looking after us, i.e. we need it from the GLA and we need it from the government. And so I urge everybody here, hopefully the GLA will take the idea, Kevin, about getting a water commissioner, or maybe with the London Waterways Commission, but they'll need funding, and it needs to be prioritised. But hopefully everybody today, we can go away, and if there's any suggestion or further ideas, please do contact us. I believe you all received a sheet on the wonderful benefits we get, up to £30 billion of benefits from the sheet, and that's Professor Colin Green. I edited it. Hopefully I didn't edit anything too serious out of it. But please do read that, and then think, how can we all together, maybe work together, contact Thames Blue Green Economy, complain to the GLA in a nice way, and the government, but let's get on with it. We haven't got much time. This is an urgent problem. We need to resolve it. So thank you very much. Thank you all. Thank you.